Good evening. On this Maundy Thursday evening, and I see the ship of state is sort of leaning a little to the side. That's all right. No doubt it will balance itself later on in the service. Everything, more or less, that you need is in your bulletin. This is a service of Holy Eucharist for Maundy Thursday, and it includes the rite of foot washing, as you can no doubt tell from the setting to my left. And I encourage you to come forward for that. That is one of the lessons that we learn from this service, and you'll hear more about it later. But don't be embarrassed. I know some people are not comfortable with it, and in fact I was told earlier this evening that even some clergy are not comfortable doing it, which I find rather interesting in and of itself. And then, of course, we shall be entering into communion. The main change, the main difference with the service of Maundy Thursday is that it is part of what we call the Great Triduum, the three great services of Holy Week, which begin on Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday, that represent the Passion, Death, and Resurrection of Jesus. What that means is this is essentially a reenactment, if you like, of the Last Supper, where it is said in the Gospels that the disciples left in some degree of disarray. And so that will happen here. At the end of the service, after the post-communion prayer, there will be no benediction, there will be no dismissal, you just leave. And you leave in silence. The choir will not recess in a normal way. The clergy will not recess in a normal way. You just leave in silence. And then the altar and all the hangings will be stripped bare, ready for Good Friday. So all the altar hangings will be removed, all the ornaments will be removed, so that all that will be left is a bare table. If you wish to remain for that and witness it, that in and of itself could be a powerful spiritual experience. The main thing to remember is it's all done in silence. So let's now stand and begin our service by singing our opening hymn, hymn 581, Where Charity and Love Prevail.
Thank you. 155 of the Book of Common Prayer. Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins.
His mercy endures forever.
Almighty God, unto you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Sacrament of his body and blood, mercifully grant that we may receive it thankfully in remembrance of Jesus Christ our Lord, who in these holy mysteries gives us a pledge of eternal life, and who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
A reading from Exodus. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance. The word of the Lord.
The second reading is from the letter to the church at Corinth. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, if you are going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash, except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him, and for this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In a conversation I had with someone not too long ago, I remarked that the older we get, the more time we spend in that place the Christian writer Frederick Buechner describes as a room called remember. In our younger years, when our past is short and our future stretches beyond the horizon, our memories are fleeting, whereas our dreams of what might be are many and varied. But there comes a time in life when we realize our future is less than our past. And whilst we may dream, the dreams are more of that which has been
than that which is to come. It is then that the memories of things past are apt to take on a richer and deeper meaning, which has the power to shape whatever future lies before us. Maundy Thursday is such a memory. Our remembering begins with the lesson from the Old Testament book of Exodus, when the Hebrews remembered the first Passover and their liberation from slavery under the Pharaohs. The future people of Israel are told to remember this day and commemorate it throughout the generations. In our second lesson, from the first letter of the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth, the Apostle shares with his community of Christians the remembrance of the last time Jesus shared a meal with his disciples, a meal deeply rooted in the first Passover meal. Paul, it's worth remembering, is writing within living memory of the Last Supper, and presumably some of the original followers of Jesus are still living, especially Peter and James, the Lord's brother. Paul met these apostles, and they no doubt shared with him the remembrance of that night and the significance of that meal and the words that have formed the heart of our faith ever since, words that in the Eucharist take us back to that first Passover meal in Exodus. Now, in the remembrance, Jesus is the new Moses, who provides bread and drink in the wilderness of our lives, and with it the same mandatum: do this in remembrance of me. By the time we reach the Gospel of John, the first generation of the Jesus movement has died, and the memory of the Last Supper has gained an additional meaning. In the memory of the community of John, the Last Supper is no longer a Passover meal and the central act of the Eucharist. Rather, what is remembered is how Jesus symbolized his love for us through the simple act of washing the feet of his disciples. In ancient times, when sandals were the normal footwear, it was the custom to offer guests water with which to wash their feet after a journey. In the memory of the Apostle John, Jesus took on the mantle of a slave and transformed a simple act of hospitality into an act of service, a reversal of the norms of society. This revolutionary act also has with it a mandatum, a command. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know you are my disciples. And so, for close on 2,000 years, in one form or another, people of faith who follow Jesus have looked back on these events, these remembrances, and recognized this night and given it a name: Maundy Thursday. The word Maundy, some say, is said to derive from the Latin mandatum, which is also the origin of the English word mandate. It is the first word in the phrase mandatum novum do vobis ut delegatis in vecem sicut delexi vos. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. These are the words reported to have been said by Jesus in the Gospel of John for this day. Maundy Thursday also initiates the great Triduum, the commemoration of the Passion, Death, and Resurrection of Jesus. Thus, Maundy Thursday and the lessons for this day are steeped in remembering. We have no certain way of knowing what the original intent of the writers of the Old and New Testaments were. We can only take from them what tradition and faith has informed over the centuries. In a short while from now, the clergy will reenact that simple act of hospitality that Jesus offered to his disciples. We do it as a reminder of that sacred order to which we are called, but also to remind you that you also are to take on the mantle of a slave to your neighbor, whoever and whatever that neighbor might be. You also are called to model Christ. And we will do these things in remembrance of that simple meal of bread and wine which Jesus shared with his closest followers. When we come to this table, to this altar, we will be stepping back in time to share in the bread of life and the cup of salvation, which through the Passion, Death, and Resurrection of our Lord, Jesus offers us. This memory, this act, has the power to change our lives. So what is Maundy Thursday to you and me? Clearly, more than a photograph, a memory that's posted in a scepter or in a scrapbook or on Facebook. Otherwise, we would not be here, would we? But is it transformative? Is Maundy Thursday transformative to you and to me? I hope so. I really, truly hope so. For this holy night of remembrance really does possess the power to change lives. The evidence of that is that we are here. This is what Jesus commanded. It's what the apostles and tradition has handed down. Those words of Jesus. Do this in remembrance of me. Amen.
Fellow servants of our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night before his death, Jesus set an example for his disciples by washing their feet, an act of humble service. He taught that strength and growth in the life of the kingdom of God come not by power, authority, or even miracle, but by such lowly service. We all need to remember his example. None stand more in need of this reminder than those whom the Lord has called to the ordained ministry.
Therefore, I invite you, who share in the royal priesthood of Christ, to come forward, that we may recall whose servant we are by following the example of our Master, But come remembering his admonition that what will be done for you is also to be done by you to others. For a servant is not greater than his master, nor is one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them.
prayers of the people will be found in the insert on the insert in your bulletin. We gather as the household of God, apostles, prophets, martyrs, servants, to pray for the church and all humankind, saying, "Come, Lord Jesus."
For refugees, for the homeless, and for all who have nowhere to lay their head, we pray.
Come, Lord Jesus.
For those unable to eat at the Lord's table or at any other table, we pray.
Come, Lord Jesus.
For the body of Christ fractured in a world of violence and war, we pray.
Come, Lord Jesus.
For those who betray and for those whom they betray, we pray. For all in any need, we pray.
Come, Lord Jesus.
For ourselves, who gather to celebrate the Lord's Passover in the bread we eat and the cup we drink, we pray.
Come, Lord Jesus. Almighty God, we recall the wonders you worked for our ancestors, and we marvel at the love shown us by your Son. Hear us as we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, have mercy on you. Forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ. Strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
We shall now be entering into communion, and you might wish to find your place in the prayer book at Eucharistic Prayer D. We don't use this very often. This is one of the great ecumenical prayers. It's also one of the oldest Eucharistic prayers in Christendom, dating back to St. Basil of Caesarea. So, but you'll find it helpful if you go to that prayer when it comes time for it. And I'm grateful to Bishop Geppert, who is working and celebrating with me over this Holy Week. It's not very often one gets a bishop over Holy Week, so it's nice. Not only is it lovely to have him, who is very much, with his wife Anne, very much an integral part of our worship service here in our congregation, but it's just nice to have a colleague, a fellow priest and presbyter to celebrate with. Just a reminder, the service will end in silence, and we will leave in silence. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Fountain of life and source of all goodness, You made all things and filled them with your blessing. You created them to rejoice in the splendor of your radiance. Countless throngs of angels stand before you to serve you night and day, and beholding the glory of your presence, they offer you unceasing praise. Joining with them and giving voice to every creature under heaven, we acclaim you and glorify your name as we sing. Prisoners, freedom, to the sorrowful, joy. To fulfill your purpose, he gave himself up to death, and rising from the grave, destroyed death, and made the whole creation new. And that we might live no longer for ourselves, but for him who died and rose for us, he sent the Holy Spirit, his own first gift for those who believe, to complete his work in the world, and to bring to fulfillment the sanctification of all. When the hour had come for him to be glorified by you, his heavenly Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. At supper with them, he took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Father, we now celebrate this memorial of our redemption, recalling Christ's death and his descent among the dead, proclaiming his resurrection and ascension to your right hand, awaiting his coming in glory, and offering to you, from the gifts you have given us, this bread and this cup. We praise you and we bless you.
We praise you, we bless you, we give thanks to you, and we pray to you, Lord our God.
Lord, we pray that in your goodness and mercy, your Holy Spirit may descend upon us and upon these gifts, sanctifying them and showing them to be holy gifts for your holy people, the bread of life and the cup of salvation, the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Grant that all who share this bread and cup may become one body and one spirit, a living sacrifice in Christ to the praise of your name. Remember, Lord, your one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church, redeemed by the blood of your Christ. Reveal its unity, guard its faith, and preserve it in peace. Remember Audrey and all who minister in your church. Remember all your people and those who seek your truth. Remember all who have died in the peace of Christ, and those whose faith is known to you alone. Bring them into the place of eternal joy and life, and grant that we may find our inheritance with the Blessed Virgin Mary, with patriarchs, prophets, apostles, and martyrs, with Edward the Confessor, and all the saints who have found favor with you in ages past. We praise you in union with them, and give you glory through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through Christ, and with Christ, and in Christ, honor and glory are yours, Almighty God and Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, forever and ever.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior Christ has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory,
forever and ever.
Amen.
Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast.
Let us pray. Eternal God,
Heavenly Father,
you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ,
and you have fed us with spiritual food
in the sacrament of his body and blood.
Send us now to the world in peace,
and grant us strength and courage
to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart
through Christ our Lord.
Amen.